The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect.
And it's just a matter of getting that very first walk out. Once the first walk comes out, then the rest of them follow pretty easily. We gotta time it just right. If we hang back too long, once we've got a hole, the water starts creeping in on in our grid,
okay.
Starts freezing it all up again.
Harvesting winter ice for summer drinks may seem like a thing of the past, but it still happens every year in places like Jackman, Maine. This is Samantha Brown with the Nature Stories podcast. Each week, we bring you pieces about the intersection between people and place. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Up now, Cobb Ice Harvest, produced by Whit Richardson for Maine Public Radio.
Ice cubes the size of 18-inch television sets float in the dark patch of exposed water. It takes three men to operate a homemade cedar lever with metal pincers on one end that haul the cakes of ice out of the water. Every January, Gary Cobb invites friends and family to take part in an annual ice harvest on Pierce Pond, south of Jackman. The day has become something of a novelty, but for Cobb's remote Pierce Pond camp, the ice is still a valuable commodity during the summer months.
Well, it's hard to buy ice at the store. One thing, the store is about is a long ways away, and the ice is better. It's here, it's free, it's fun to do it. We use it as in place of ice machines and that kind of thing. We probably chop up 200 pounds of ice a day just for people to have in drinks. And then people take the ice out in coolers, you know, when they go fishing, and they pack fish and they go home. And
these remote sporting camps carry on the last vestige of what was once a booming industry in Maine. By the end of the 19th century, up to 60 companies operated on the Kennebec River alone and shipped more than a million tons of ice to places as far away as China, India, and South America.
The camps are 100 years old. Of course, ice was the only refrigeration until probably the early 50s, the late 40s, and during the period there, they did not cut ice. And then we started doing it, I don't know, 35 years ago, I can't tell you.
The day begins at 9 in the morning. The snow is swept from the pond's frozen surface, and Gary Cobb hauls the ancient ice-cutting machine out of storage.
It was built in either 1929, 1930, and it runs off a Ford Model A engine. And not many of them around. In fact, it's the only one I've ever seen. What this does, it cuts down about 10 inches, but it also cuts a nice square grid, so we have good uniform blocks, and then it leaves a good guide to finish up sawing with the hand saws.
Shane Nichols has been taking part in the ice harvest since he was a teenager. All morning, he has been using one of the long, two-handed saws to finish cutting the ice into blocks.
And it's just a matter of getting that very first block out. Once the first block comes out, then the rest of them follow pretty easily. We gotta time it just right. If we hang back too long, once we've got a hole, the water starts creeping in on in our grid,
okay.
Starts freezing it all up again.
Once the blocks are loose, they're lifted onto a sled pulled by snowmobiles and brought to the ice house, where they're packed in snow and sawdust. The ice will last all summer. In fact, four or five blocks of ice from last winter's harvest have been discarded outside the ice house. At the end of the day, 190 blocks, each weighing about 200 pounds, are packed into the ice house. The cold and hungry workers then pile into a cabin where Betty Cobb has been preparing a hearty meal.
Did you hear all the choices? There's the Italian hamburg soup, there's some bacon and bean soup, the seafood chowder and pea soup out there, There's some broccoli soup and there's lasagna in the oven and a hot dog.
Next year, the same crowd will gather and do it all again. Gary Cobb's son, Andy, promises the ice harvest at Pierce Pond will continue for at least another generation. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Whit Richardson.
Drop by the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org, to hear more stories like these. You can even write your own review and help get more good work on the radio. This podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to saving the last great places on Earth, and is funded by Visa. We're online at nature.org/stories. To send us your thoughts and suggestions, write to podcast@tnc.org. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown, and I'll be back next week with a new Nature Stories podcast.